2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andreas Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at kslpodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
You're listening to Jeff Kaplan's Afternoon News on KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
It's 6:30 at KSL. Tim Hughes in for Jeff Kaplan this afternoon. We have some cloudy skies, a little sunshine in downtown Salt Lake City, and 81 degrees. KSL's top story this half hour. The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints is calling an Associated Press article about child abuse in Arizona incomplete and oversimplified. KSL News Radio's Kara Hoffelmeyer explains.
The Associated Press reports an Arizona man reported to his bishop that he sexually abused his daughter. The bishop, after using the helpline, a tool for church leaders to receive help when abuse is reported to clergy, did not alert police but encouraged the man and his wife to report it. Clergy are not always required to report on something that was told to them in confidence, even if it's a crime. That's the case in Arizona. Even though law regarding child sex abuse does require abuse or neglect to be reported to the state in most instances. In other words, clergy are exempt from the disclosure laws. Clergy may withhold reporting if they determine it's reasonable and necessary under church rules to do so. The man who admitted to the abuse was excommunicated in 2013. A statement from the church says the helpline is just one of many safeguards in place for leaders to report abuse. It also said the Associated Press seriously mischaracterized its purpose. Kira Hoffelmeyer, KSL News Radio.
Senate President Stuart Adams says there will be an independent investigation into allegations of sexual harassment against Utah's State Senator Gene Davis. The allegations come from a former intern who says he would invade her personal boundaries. House Minority Leader Representative Brian King says he's glad to see the serious response.
What's critical is that there be some identified process by which these kinds of reports are investigated in a way that's meaningful, in a way that honors the individual being making the report, because this is a hard thing for people to do, and it takes great courage.
Senator Davis has not returned our request for comment. A police chase that forced a freeway shutdown has ended in Juab County. The Utah Highway Patrol says they tried to stop a car headed northbound on I-15 when the driver fled, clipping a Nephi Patrol pickup. The driver got back on I-15 southbound and then northbound again, where a trooper picked up the pursuit. Eventually, they were able to spike the tires and stop the pursuit, and luckily, no one was hurt. Our top national story now. Another victory for Sandy Hook parents. ABC's Ariel Reshef has more.
Members of the jury, have you reached a verdict?
A Texas jury punishing conspiracy theorist Alex Jones for his lies, ordering him to pay $45.2 million to the family of 6-year-old Jesse Lewis, one of the 20 first graders and 6 staff gunned down at Sandy Hook Elementary. The staggering sum on top of $4 million in compensatory damages marks the first time the firebrand host has been found financially responsible for spreading false claims about the country's deadliest school shooting.
Jones is also facing a lawsuit filed in Connecticut by several other Sandy Hook families and an FBI agent. Calls to bring WNBA star Brittany Griner home have escalated over the last 24 hours since the Russian courts sentenced her to 9 years in prison on drug possession charges. Secretary of State Antony Blinken says they are continuing efforts to negotiate for Griner's freedom and will continue to push on the U.S.'s substantial offer. A White House spokesperson reiterated that Griner's release is a top priority for the Biden administration.
This morning, Foreign Minister Lavrov said publicly that they are prepared to engage through the channels we have established at the president's direction. As Secretary Blinken said this morning, as I just mentioned, we will continue to pursue those.
There's talks of a U.S.-Russian prisoner swap. At least 10 people are dead in an early morning house fire in Pennsylvania. Volunteer firefighter Harold Baker responded and says the victims include his relatives who were visiting an aunt and uncle who lived at the house.
When we came pulled up, the whole place was fully involved. We tried to get into them. There wasn't no way we could get into them.
A criminal investigation is underway. A third person has died after lightning struck close to the White House last night. D.C. police confirmed earlier today that four people were nearby and taken to the hospital. Thunderstorms also moving into the Wasatch Front, and they will throughout the night. The rain scheduled to pick up again if you look at the hourly forecast somewhere in the middle of the night tonight. KSL News Radio's Amy Kobabe has a look at the rain that will come with all these storms.
The National Weather Service has been warning for days of flash flooding risks in southern and central Utah, but today that warning also includes northern Utah and the Wasatch Front. Meteorologists warn there could be strong wind gusts as well and suggest keeping an eye on the sky if you're planning any time outside.
There's a chance of those thunderstorms, as we mentioned, sticking around for the better part of the day tomorrow. There are big changes coming to public transit schedules starting on Sunday. UTA making some minor adjustments to the commuter rail, light rail, and bus schedules across the board, but they're also making some fairly large-scale changes to bus routes. Before you start your commute on Monday, you might want to make sure you check that route just in case it has changed. Let's go back over to Ricky Meese and check on any major problems out there left as you make your way into the weekend.
We are still seeing some leftover heavy and slow traffic northbound I-15 from Temp Highway, SR-92, all the way to Bangor Highway in Draper. Ricky Meese in the KSL Traffic Center.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andrea Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at kslpodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.